Hi everyone, welcome to Service Nerds, your go-to podcast for all things service management, and this is your host Rina Brumbert. In this episode, it's really like a full interview with Sharina Job, a really great leader in service management industry. We had such a great time discussing like all things service management, including career advice, the future of service management, and some personal insight in her own career journey. So if you missed our previous episodes, which we've been kind of publishing for last 4 to 5 weeks, this is your chance to listen to the full episode uninterrupted. I hope you enjoy this and don't forget to leave us a feedback. Thank you. So let's get into it.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Sharina. Thank you for giving us your valuable time. Welcome to Service Notes, a podcast which focuses on, you know, all about service management. So first thing first, tell us a lot about you. We don't want to know a little bit about you. We want to know everything, where you started, where you are, how you navigated your career, and all the ups and downs. So take it away.
Thank you, Rina. Thank you for inviting me to this podcast. It's a great opportunity to connect with you. Yes, our name rhymes very well. So that's a personal connection, and it's also an opportunity to be there in that service management to talk about my favorite field that I'm really passionate about. I work for one of the leading banks here in Canada, Bank of Montreal, as a senior manager managing the technology change management and automation. I have about 15 to 18 years of experience specifically in IT service management. So I think I was groomed to be a seasonal IT service management professional with added experience in risk management, business continuity, and governance. I've worked in IT service management in different processes, starting from incident management, working for major tech groups, and then later pivoted to service level management, change enablement process, availability, capacity, release management, configuration management, in different industries across different countries. I think I've worked in Asia, Middle East for a good period of time, and I am here in North America, here working for the financial institutions. So having worked in different industries, different processes, I feel service management is that it's the whole amalgamation of the different processes that binds IT and businesses together to be that effective partner to co-create the value that helps them to achieve their objectives, serve their customers, and then bring that whole benefit to the economy. I'm really glad that I've chosen this career. I'm so passionate. Even when I speak about service management, I really enjoy. And over the years, I was also able to academically progress in service management, starting from foundation intermediate expert. And right now, I'm just one paper left to be that idle master, which I'm hoping that I can hit the nail on the wall before the end of this year to hold the master tag. Thank you, Reina.
Yeah, no, awesome. I do have one question. So obviously, you've been in this for pretty much most part of your career. When a family member or someone at the party asks you, what do you do for a living and use the service management, how do they respond?
I think most times, you know, in the earlier years of my career, people didn't know what was this. It's service management. They thought I was into some management role. And then when I said technology, I think the two common things people know is either infrastructure role, like a network engineer or server administrator, or a developer. And as things evolved, I would say today in my family, I do have my sister being a senior product owner. Okay. I do have my some other family members who are in the QA role, who do quite often interact with IT service management people. So it's sometimes very interesting when our conversation gets into a little bit of professional level. Also, we are meeting up for, you know, family gatherings. So I think today service management is a known career. Okay. Although people may not know all the processes, but most of the people know about release management. You know, they know about agile deliveries. The only area I think that they can get confused is the change management often I get, you know, people ask me, are you working as an OCM, organizational change manager? Mm-hmm. Then I say, you know, slightly different. It's ProSign, versus this is, it's based on ITIL framework, and I'm leading the technology change enablement. So I think that's the only thin line of difference, but I am glad everybody knows this profession right now, you know?
Yeah, no, that's really good. Really good. And yeah, thank you for highlighting the difference between OCM and change enablement, where which is really focusing on the technical aspect of our work. So no, thank you. All right. So, you know, given you work in change enablement, you are kind of part of the team who does the automation. It will be no surprise when I mention the word AI, you will be like closely familiar with it. Where do you think AI is going to be impacting service management?
I think today we are in AI era. A couple of years ago, we were in the internet era. And today we are in the AI era. So AI has pretty much influenced every field, you know, every phase of life. So I don't think we can keep that aside. It's going to be our part. So in service management, I think with ServiceNow being introduced as one of the tool, the low code and no code, it's one of the AI, I would say, it has got immense possibilities in the AI field. It has got a lot of add-on features being introduced when it comes to AI. Now, cloud technology and cloud computing is another area I would say I would like to connect, because in the earlier days when we had capacity management, right, as one of mm-hmm. the ideal processes, we had to do a lot of, you know, calculations to see how many servers we need, how many RAMs we need, how many, you know, what could be the, how many switches, and, you know, what would be the bandwidth and stuff.
Today, yeah, pie in the sky.
Exactly. Yeah. Today we have edge computing. That means I am only paying for what I need to use for. So this gives me the leverage and also a little bit of efficiency in better financial management of IT services. That is one of the big game changer. 5G coming. The telecommunication connectivity has been massive, right? You can roam around and still feel at home. Recently, I was in the US, and then I for a visit, but I still felt at home. I get the same services, the same connectivity, and everything else that I felt at home. Yeah. And coming to the automation part, I lead a team, a small team, who does wonders with Power Apps, Power BI, and those are data analytics tools that helps us find predictive analysis to help the business to drive their, you know, the activities forward with informed decisions. So you could see trends, you could see patterns. So before things go wrong, or, you know, you can already catch it. So we say learn fast. So if you fail fast, you could also learn fast, right?
Right.
So I think this has been a game changer here. Then the other thing that I think from an AI perspective, it's robotics, right?
Right.
It's been massive. Like even in medical field or whatever field that you look at it, it has been a game changer. So I think within service management, I don't think the people element can be taken away. I'm not as super scared that AI can replace all of our jobs, but actually it's going to help us enable, it's going to be an enablement to do our job better. Because I've seen people saying, oh, with AI, are we not going to have service management process? It still needs to be there. You still need a human brain, probably 3 times or 10 times more complex than AI system, to look at these changes, evaluate it, and see if it's safe to go. So we are the ones who are actually giving the algorithms to the AI system to function. So it's pretty much intuitive. ChatGPT can give me information, but if I don't know what information to pull from ChatGPT, my output is also going to be based on what I'm giving it.
Right.
So I think it's going to complement me and help me to do my job better. Of course, I need to upskill with the AI in place, but I'm not too concerned that it's going to take away our roles or existence in the service management industry.
Yeah, I know. I think you make a good point, because different people you speak to, you get different answer, especially like things in media or some of the videos you may watch on YouTube is like human extinction, cognitive decline, just because AI is taking over. But I think people need to focus on responsible AI. It's not AI for the sake of it, but like, you know, how are we going to use this? How are we going to leverage this? How this is going to enhance my current skill. It's not replacing me if it's going to help me to do my job better. Like I was talking to someone yesterday and I said, I think it's going to be a little bit like typewriter versus computer, right?
Yeah.
Typewriter, yeah. You can do only certain things at certain pace. And when the computer came up, we got so creative. I mean, I remember in my college, we used to have like those word arts. I don't know if you remember in Microsoft. It was so fun and excitement. Of course, we don't use it today. But, you know, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be going from a typewriter into the computer phase. So
ISOC recently learned that ISOC introduced a new course called AI Ethics. What it says is that you have the data privacy in place, right? Governance in place. So I do have a little bit background of risk management and business continuity as well. So coming from that side and working in confidential, you know, cybersecurity organizations, I've seen that, you know, you need to have that ethics. What is it something that that is safe to share to the public? What needs to be shared? So your algorithms should be specific in such a way that you're not exposing your information, everything to the world, right? It's about security in the cloud versus security off the cloud. The cloud service providers like AWS or Microsoft, they can provide us with the security from an infrastructure and platform services. But within the cloud, what information we as a client host, it's our sole responsibility.
Yep.
So I think it's all about if you're responsible and ethical, then AI can be definitely take us to the next level across the world. And so I hope our Gen Z and Gen Alpha teams, what's coming up, you know, the budding talents are going to be responsible when they use AI applications.
Yeah. No, very good point. All right. So, you know, obviously, given your expertise, I have to ask, what advice would you give to someone who is considering a career in IT service management?
I would say to my younger generations of Gen Alpha and Gen Z, the little piece of advice that I could give is always leverage every opportunity that comes your way in IT service management. You may start with one particular process that's the opportunity that is given to you, but you never know that might take you to the next place. How I started my journey from incident to the change, and I pretty much covered almost all the processes that I could name in IT service management. Never stop learning. Always have that thirst and energy and that passion in what you do. Always create processes, considering that this is created for human. It's not for a machine. It's not for a system. It's not for an application. You are creating this process for the humans that is working along with this. It's a process for human, by the humans, for the humans and of the humans. So make sure that you have some empathy when you build it. Always consider IT and business as a blended entity. That's what I believe in. You should never consider that we as an IT is driving the process. We could be the advocate in one place. We could also be an ambassador at the other side, right? So that's what I would love to give a little piece of what I have learned over the years. And the second thing is never be afraid to make a mistake. As we evolve, as we drive processes, there are sometimes the process you defined didn't fit the organization. It wasn't exactly catered to that particular problem solving. Never be afraid to admit it, take some reflection from it, and then redefine it in partnership with the people who are having the concern. Hear their pain, listen to them. I learned from my failures, my past failed implementations more than anything else. So today, if I have to define a process, I just take a step back, look at the people around, who is going to consume it, who is going to be my ambassadors, who is going to be my champions. I would love to have a collaborative, a working session with them before I define it. So maybe these are little things that I would love to share with them.
Yeah, no, that is so awesome. I feel like you have packed so much. Like it starts with be willing to say yes, right? Like I think that is so important. Even, I don't know if you know Amy Poehler.
Mm-hmm.
So she did a masterclass. And I love her. I think she's so funny. And I think she had this life rules, you know, kind of how she got from where she is. I mean, I think she's really credible, reputable comedian, even though she doesn't do that much work. But one of the hard principles is to say yes. Like, you never know where it's going to take you. So, you know, totally, totally with you, never stop learning, because, you know, once you box yourself and say, oh, this is what I can do, I can't go beyond this, you box yourself. Like, and there is really no growth. So, no, totally, totally useful. I really hope that people are listening to this, are going to, you know, take all this advice as a kind of like a sponge and go and follow and, you know, follow on this journey, because yeah, it's very useful. Even I'm going to take some for myself, like never be afraid to make mistakes. You know, sometimes I do get a little hung up on, I never did this before, can I do this? And yeah, but like, yeah, what's the worst? I might make a mistake and I will learn from it, if anything. Yeah. So no, thank you, Sharina.
So Sharina,
I mean, super fantastic story. And, you know, I mean, when you say you started like 10, 15 years ago, incident management, and you moved into change management space and you use Excel, and you know, where we are now, like how did you manage that transition from, let's say, version 2 of ITIL with such a basic element with lot of complexity, because we know, like, you know, technology is not what it used to be 10 years ago, right? So do you want to kind of share your experience and how you managed that transition?
For sure, Reina. I think we all know VUCA, volatility, uncertainty, complexity and ambiguity. Technology is so volatile. I started with a very basic Excel those days, and then slowly progressed into being introduced to IT service management tools, which has been a great revolution in the whole IT service management space, right? So it started off with Footprint, then later got introduced to Remedy. From Remedy, it got introduced to, I think it was ManageEngine. And then from ManageEngine to today's MasterBrain, which is ServiceNow. So ServiceNow is a no-code to low-code application. It's amazing. It's easy to use. It's a tool that runs based on the processes. It's driving the whole way the things need to be run in the right place. So, and I would say 10 years ago, in service management, each of the processes was considered a silo piece. I would say it was not interdependent and interrelated. But today, I would say every single process is a handshake with the next. So you have change, configuration, release, CCR, very tightly coupled. You have incident, change, problem, tightly coupled. You have incident, problem, availability, tightly coupled. And everything else is managed by our service level agreement, operational agreement. So it's a nervous system. So as I have been, you know, into various assignments across different industries, I was also fortunate to wear the hat of an internal consultant in those organizations, and also I would say a mini project manager to run the implementation of these tools. So great experience in understanding and also helping the people, you know, understand the benefits of these tools by shaping their work to be more efficient, and also the getting them customized and to cater to the organization. So that's what I feel. When I look at the journey about the whole ITSM journey along with ITSM tools.
Yeah, no, I think I like how you kind of defined the whole coupling process. I never heard it like that, like, you know, incident, problem, configuration, and, you know, yeah, I mean, it's just like, it just shows like you have so much wealth and knowledge in this space. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised like if you were in my team or my company, I was like, hey, Sharina, we need to, you know, get this form up for this incident new service, and you'll be like, yeah, sure, let's do it, right? I mean, because you know the process, you know the tool. So yeah, no, that's really, really fantastic. And how has it benefited your career? Because you have gone up the process ladder, you know, by academic and professional experience, and you have also evolved in your technology understanding of these ITSM tools. Like, how has career benefited from this approach?
I think I got a very consistent, progressive career growth. Starting from incident management, I was wearing the hat of a team leader, managing about 15 to 20 people, which who are like technical support engineers.
Okay.
And then as I progressed to become a manager for each of these processes, although the team size got a little more, you know, smaller because the team members are more senior, we were taking more complex assignments. And then I moved over to both service I change between service delivery and service transition processes as well,
okay,
to manage a little bit of release, configuration and change. So today I'm happy when I look back, being a senior manager, I'm driving the whole change enablement process with the B2C landscape for one of the leading banks here in Canada, which is Bank of Montreal. And it really gives me that happiness that today I'm also making sure that every change that gets into the environment, right? Every change that gets into the landscape, we are safeguarding our customers' service continuity and also providing them with new enhanced features so that they could enjoy banking with a very good experience. Yeah,
I know, definitely. If I was in Canada, that's who I would bank with, because I know that IT is in safe hands. Yeah, no, it makes such a big difference. Do you have a favorite process, given you've kind of gone through the, you know, most of them? Mm-hmm. Is that a favorite process of yours?
I think I would say I would give equal opportunity to both service level management and change management.
Okay.
And particularly, probably I'm more inclined towards change management because it pretty much resonates with my personality and persona. Because it's a very disciplined process. It's a process that needs to have critical thinking as one of the very key soft skill factor. People normally consider change record as an administrative process, but for me, it's about looking at different pieces and stitching them together. Think what would happen if something goes wrong. So that means also wearing the hat of a little bit on that downstream, looking at the incident side, what could if it goes wrong.
Yeah.
And at the same time, okay, if it becomes a success, then yes, kudos, then it's getting into the operation. So I would say I would give equal weightage for both change management and service level. That's how it is.
Yeah, I know, that's very interesting, because I think change is one of those where you have to balance the timeliness with the risk, right? Because
exactly,
you can't pump everything at the same time. And because the technology is moving so fast, the timeliness of this is also important, because, let's be honest, when you release the first thing, the team is out there is kind of ready for the next thing. You just haven't got a time to even breathe. And they're just like, but here is the next one, right? So,
exactly. And I think it connects the three C, which I call, which is coordination, collaboration, and communication. So you coordinate with the stakeholders, you collaborate with the different teams, incident release, change project management, even agile delivery teams, and then you communicate as well. As the change goes in or comes out with success, or even if it fails, you still need to communicate. So I think that's where it is. It's that a controlling process.
Yeah, no, I like that. CCC.
Exactly.
Yeah. Very three C's. Yeah, very interesting. Thank you.
In our last episode with Sharina, we get behind-the-scenes look at her journey, and also we get some personal insights. I'll kick off the things by asking, is she a Coca-Cola or Pepsi person? And let's see what she has to say.
Okay, so Sharina, this is kind of my favorite part, where I get to know you personally, and also the people listening to it, they get to know kind of Sharina behind the work scene. So my first question is, are you Pepsi or Coke?
I think neither. I'm more a lemonade person.
Oh my God. You know what? I'm learning so much about people, because you are my third guest who said the same thing. So I'm going to have to expand my options now. Okay. Tea or coffee?
I think anytime tea.
Tea. Okay. What's your favorite book?
It's Start With Why by Simon Sinek. It's a book about to know the purpose behind any action that you do. Start with the why. If you know the why, you know how to be done and then what to be done. So it's a very good book that I love.
I have read that. I have seen his YouTube talk. I think it's very important, because sometimes when you need that extra kick to do something, mm-hmm. you go ask why you're doing this. I think it kind of makes a journey a little easy. It doesn't make it simple or fun, but somewhat easy. Okay. How do you relax after a busy day at work?
Oh, if it's summer or a spring, summer, fall season, I enjoy my backyard, my gardening. I love a little bit of Zumba. I've been a little off track when it comes to my fitness, but otherwise I do enjoy a short high intensity workout. Anything includes nature walk to feel the nature, feel the earth. That's what I love. And if that can be, complemented with some good music, then that's my go-to personal moments.
Good one. Yeah, who doesn't like a good dance, right? Yeah. Okay, and what's your personal mantra? Something you have applied in your life continuously and you kind of stand by?
I'd say be the better version of always. Always strive to be the better. You can always have improvements in even the minutest things. So always strive to be the best version of yourself. What you were you yesterday, try to be better today. And then if you're better today, be the best tomorrow. So
yeah, no, good one, good one. And last but not least, if you have to say one word for service management, what would you say?
It's the discipline.
Okay, I love that. Discipline, yes. It brings discipline and removes the chaos. Well, thank you so much. It's so much fun having you. And I love the fact that our name rhymes. Sharina, Rina is like, how fantastic. Yeah, I just love it. Like, I love when I meet some under the Rina or Katrina or Ren. Like, yeah, I love it. Well, thank you for, joining us and giving us your valuable time. Do you have any final word you want to share with the audience?
Thank you, Rina, for inviting me to this podcast. I really, really enjoyed. You made it at ease, very comfortable way, organic, natural. And to all my fellow service management professionals, let's stay connected. A strong network and community help us to grow together and to support each other. So I wish everyone all the very best, and so that together we can make this world a better place.
Yeah, no, thank you. Very good advice. Thank you.
This episode of Service Notes is sponsored by 24 Trainings. Check out their service management training classes at www.24trainings.com.